Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of You Haven't Seen That Podcast. I'm Isaac.
I'm Alva.
And this is a show where we cover movies on that growing list of films that has people asking us the question,
You haven't seen that?
Intermission edition. We will soon get around to actually covering and breaking down movies. It's a slower movie season. But before all that fun stuff, if you're new here, hi, welcome. If you want to support us, you can do so at YHST Pod on Venmo. Anything is very, very welcome. And we're actually live streaming this. But if you're listening to this in the future, we have already live streamed. And yes. Usually we do that on TikTok, but you know, TikTok may or may not have already been banned.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So if TikTok did go bye-bye, then look for us on Instagram for now.
At FREHED Films.
That's Forehead Films. But if you're listening to this in a particular future where we've updated some stuff, then you can try to find us at
YHST Pod.
There you go.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, yeah. We're still going to be continuing to do our stuff on our social medias. Nothing is going to change other than our name and the face on the profile pic.
That's it.
Yeah, and Forehead Films has been retired. I'm still going to do those video reviews, but I'm calling them YHST Snacks.
Because you snack on them.
Well, snack version, little bite-sized snack versions of these longer conversational reviews.
Yes, yes.
I want to handle some sad stuff, though.
Okay.
In the news, as of late, David Lynch passed away.
R.I.P.
Yeah, and, you know, known for being, like, the surrealist. And having a lot of movies that, unfortunately, I haven't seen, and it will now be added to the YHST list. And we'll eventually get around and cover some of those David Lynch films. But he was a character. I was looking at some of his Twitter posts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I really like this guy.
Oh, you could see him giving the weather. I remember those.
Yeah. But there was something that somebody had wrote, and I'm going to give them credit. It was on Instagram at John Messner. And it was just such a lovely, like, farewell words that I wanted to share with you guys. He has said, David Lynch has left this plane of existence and entered a dimension even stranger than his own films. He's wandered off into some dimly lit hallway where the wallpaper hums, the floor creaks rhythmically, and time folds in on itself. We're not sure if he's gone to the Black Lodge, the White Lodge, or some unmarked third option he created himself, but one thing's for sure, wherever he is, it's weird as hell, and he wouldn't have it any other way. You made us question whether we were dreaming, whether we were awake, or whether it even mattered, is now orchestrating a symphony of disjointed whispers, flickering neon lights, and inexplicably unsettling jazz riffs. Lynch didn't just make films, he made portals. He turned diners into nightmares, small towns into labyrinths, and bunnies into existential threats. He gave us a world where the owls are not what they seem, and we loved him for it. I hope right now you're sipping damn fine coffee in a red curtained room, discussing existentialism with the dancing dwarf and sketching ideas for a new kind of cloud. And somewhere in the afterlife, an angel is nervously asking, do you want me to read the line, Hal? Lynch was never one to explain the mysteries of life or his films. And maybe that's the greatest gift he gave us. The permission to embrace the unknowable, lean into the surreal, and always, always check behind the radiator. R.I.P. or in beautifully orchestrated chaos, David. You've left us a world that feels a little stranger, a little darker, and a lot more interesting.
Intense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was looking at everyone giving their words and stuff. And this person, again, on Instagram, at John Messner, just, my God, beautiful words. So, R.I.P. David Lynch. Okay, sad stuff aside. Also, if you're listening to this in the future, California's had a really rough time. And if you're listening to this in any other part of the world and you haven't heard about the SoCal fires, please help out in donating and getting people up and running. You could do so. And these are just some vetted foundations. Because I work in South Pasadena and like it's the heartbreak lingers through the air. So I just wanted to use our little platform and however many dozen people are listening to help that community out. Some of the foundations are California Community Foundation, California Fire Foundation, LA Fire Department Foundation, Pasadena Humane Society, Ventura County Community Foundation, American Red Cross of Greater Los Angeles, Center for Disaster Philanthropy, Direct Relief, and World Central Kitchen are just a few places that NBC had vetted as far as like being things that aren't going to scam you. So be careful if you're going to help people out. And if you live around the neighborhood, you can also just go directly. to some of the convention centers to help out and donate. So I just needed to take that moment because, like, again, it's really been, like, heartbreaking. So enough of the sad stuff. We can now get on to our movies. We're covering two movies. Alva, what are they?
Wolfman and The Last Showgirl.
And if you didn't see the Golden Globes, we went ahead and watched it for you. And we're going to give you an abbreviated version of the Golden Globes.
Definitely, yeah.
We never covered an award show before, so I have no idea how this is going to go. We'll maybe be into it and do it again for the Oscars, or we'll absolutely hate it and just tell you to fuck off and watch it yourself. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. We wing it on the show, guys. You're sleepy too, huh? I'm barely getting energy out of myself.
Yeah, a little bit. Right. But I did take my meds for my cough.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing, too. Sorry if we're a little bit lower energy. We're literally on the tail end of a cold that kicked our ass.
And sinus infection.
And sinus infections. And then she had her face cut in, too. Goodbye, Theodoro Pastulio.
Pastulio.
The first.
It was my first step into the substance. I get 1 week. Pastulio gets another week. But we are one.
Okay. Let's try to bring some kind of regularity into the show. Maybe the beginning of the show, I kind of like sucked the energy out, but it was important to me. So, whatever. Okay, we're first going to talk Wolfman from director Lee Whannell, who also did The Invisible Man and did Upgrade. I don't know if Upgrade was also Blumhouse.
Black Phone.
He directed that one too?
Scott Derrickson, but it was Blumhouse.
Well, as far as I know, Invisible Man and Upgrade, he directed those ones. Upgrade is super awesome. I think that doesn't get enough love. And Invisible Man was a really cool take on, Universal's popular monster, quote unquote. So Wolfman was produced by Blumhouse. Mm-hmm. And if you've listened to past episodes, I have somewhat of an issue with Blumhouse movies where they take really cool concepts and give them legs. Nope. But my problem with it is that usually those legs don't really stick any kind of particular landing. Mm-mm. Now, that's not for all of them. Like, Blumhouse does have some cool movies where I'm like, wow, you got to definitely see that one. And so this movie, Wolfman, is, like with Invisible Man, his own take on a well-known creature. I liked it.
It was okay.
I was really excited for this movie. I made sure not to go and see any other promos or interviews or any other extended trailers or anything like that. Like, I really was trying to do the Alva thing and go into it minimal information.
Well, the good thing about TikTok ban is since people aren't really posting much on TikTok, or like if they are, I don't know if my For You page is not giving me these things, but I have not seen one promo for this movie. I have not seen anything. I have seen promos for Love Hurts, Hard Eyes, and these are not even out yet. These are next month that are coming out. And I'm just like, why am I seeing promos for those movies, but I never saw even a promo for this? And I know usually after we watch it, we'll see like day of Friday, we usually see like an interview being posted or something. Nothing.
Which, I mean, it's either a good thing or a bad thing. And this one was, it was mid.
It was okay.
It was okay. Again, I was excited for this. It's starring Julie Gardner from the Ozarks and Christopher Abbott, which I thought he looked familiar. He was the Foreigner, one of the superfluous sea villains in Kraven the Hunter.
Oh, okay. What else is he in, though? Because I know I feel like I've seen him somewhere else.
Girls.
Yes.
Yeah, he popped up in Girls and some movie called Sanctuary. The reason why I noted that one was because it's co-starring Margaret Qualley.
Okay.
Yeah. He has an intense look. So, performances. Everybody was good. If you've seen any of their other performances, they're great. And I think they really held this movie together. The director's really solid. Like I mentioned, Invisible Man and Upgrade. Those are very great movies. He's very creative with his camera movements and angles, just his general direction, the tone. Every movie has its particular tone, and it sits with it, and it works, as it did in this movie. But the thing that didn't work for me, we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
A little girl was cool, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that little girl, she knew how to act. Like, I felt like usually when there's, like, a kid actor, they're either, like, kind of either hit it or miss it, kind of thing. But she, I don't know, she hit it. She hit it out of the park. And I did like her little outfit in the beginning of the movie. Oh, the tutu in the wings.
in a nutshell, and of course, we never spoil movies on this thing because I know a lot of people were excited to see it. And even based on the Rotten Tomatoes score, you know.
And it comes out today, so we're not going to spoil much.
Yeah, so it's going to be either you love it or you hate it. So it's the story of a man who takes his family back to his home house, his childhood house, then, you know, beautiful countryside. And of course, there's a mysterious creature.
An unseen animal.
I mean, you get as much from the trailer. I don't want to reveal too much, but it very cleverly deals with generational trauma. The whole movie is an allegory about generational trauma, and I liked how they approached it from the beginning with certain flashbacks and how certain characters interacted with one another, as well as present day parenting, stay at home father and a mom that works, and how that affects a kid and a relationship. And again, that could, I think, only be done with amazing actors like this.
Yeah.
So the first act of the movie starts off strong, sets everyone up as a horror movie. I always say a horror movie should. It takes its time and being slow paced, which is good.
Enough detail, but not enough where it ruins it.
Exactly. Doesn't reveal the creature. I always like that. And then the second act kicks off.
Still going strong.
And then towards the second half of that second act, there's some pacing missteps.
It loses its footing just a bit.
Yeah. They explore, and you see it in the trailer, he's becoming the Wolfman. They utilize certain art styles, if you will, to show you perspectives of his change. So it's a kind of like a body horror movie-ish. Mm-hmm. The director did say that he took reference from The Fly, Jeff Goldblum. I forgot who directed that one. Apologies. But if you can see those similarities in this movie. And then the things that they set up that were very interesting and I thought very cool started to not pay off and started to kind of fall flat. And then the pacing wasn't necessarily slow. It was just
a little rushed.
In some parts, it was rushed. Like in the second act, I like that they fucking got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you have to try to wait out the whole scenario with them. But certain sequences dragged on. You are waiting for the movie to kick into gear. And it, for me, just doesn't do that. For you?
No, I felt like third act was a combination of going too slow and too fast. It's like they noticed they were going too slow, and then they had to speed it up and then slow back down. And then kind of like took me out because I'm like, okay, pick one thing. Or crescendo to that. Like, don't just be like, we're going to go super slow and then bam, we're going to hit you with this and then go back to super slow. Because I'm just like, if you want me to like have a little bit of a jump scare or something, I feel like there's a formula to that. It was being attempted, but it wasn't successful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it went for like one or two cheap jump scares. It had one or two cheap body gore moments.
Because I know during the second act, right before it starts to like lose momentum, I know some people in the theater like audibly gasped.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. We're getting somewhere. And then it was like, wait, what? To the point where I noticed that people were leaving really fast after the movie.
Yeah. My problem with the movie wasn't, you know, any of the technical aspects or story or anything like that. It was mainly the pacing, like I was going fast and then slow and just not getting to where I needed to get to. At a certain point, there's like no dialogue and they're relying on like, you know, facial gestures and stuff. And it didn't work for me. It just didn't work for me because there was all this emotional weight that you built in the first act in the beginning that kind of, you know what? Not kind of, sort of. I'm not going to bitch around it. It didn't work in the end. They forgot about it. They let it go and try to then focus on the creature, which this isn't your traditional Wolfman movie. You're hiding the creature, and I liked how they hit it. The suspense is there throughout the film. It's illustrated in part thanks to the actors' performances, of course.
The use of lighting.
Yeah.
Perfect. There's a couple scenes where I was not expecting the lighting being used in that manner.
Oh, and the sound design, I'm going to go nerdy on you guys. The sound design was so well done where, you know, towards a certain part of a movie, it makes you very aware of the sound, but it subtly does it in certain parts. I'm being very vague, but in certain parts, it's very subtle that I started to pick up on it. And like, oh, I'm noticing these changes because they're subtle until they become obvious. And it was very clever. It just didn't pay off. As well, and, you know, and I'm going to crap on some of the character. Some character choices were just dumb.
Yeah.
And I always have a problem with that. You set up a character to be kind of clever and intelligent, and then they do dumb things, and we're over here going, don't go in there. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So you're left kind of scratching your head going like, okay, well, surely like the transformation is going to save it. The thing is, he's transforming. You never get a transformed werewolf. So the design of the werewolf, once revealed and once he's going through final stages of transformation, mm-hmm. I was anticipating. I'm like, it's all right. This is gonna save it. Here we go. And then, bleh. I go, that's it? That's what we got? And maybe I'm the only one.
No, you weren't the only one.
And I was really trying. I'm telling you, I was really trying to like it. And when we walked out, I was like, what'd you think?
Yeah. I even sat with it today. Yeah. Remember how I kept telling you on the drive home? I was just like, they don't just have to sit with this movie because I don't know. I even said I may have to rewatch it to see maybe I was off that night or something. Or
you even credited that the practical effects were well done.
Yeah. That's big for me to credit.
But could use some more effects or something. It was missing something. It was missing more.
I think I even mentioned something about the transformation that Twilight gave us more than this one did. And I'm not trying to like jab at it, but I'm just like, I just wanted a little bit more of a transformation of a thing. I don't know. I was kind of like not satisfied.
Yeah. Would you recommend people see this movie?
I mean, if you want to see it, you know what? Yeah, no, go see it. I would recommend them to go see it because my opinion could be totally different than they might like it or whatnot.
But, yeah, I don't think you're going to hate it. I think it's an enjoyable watch.
I said like it and say they were going to love.
No. Yeah, I really want to love it. But if you like werewolves, if you really like werewolves, I was seeing comments in certain threads where people who are huge fans of werewolves liked the take on this. So if you're mm-hmm. a giant werewolf fan, this might be something for you.
Yeah.
If you're a casual wolfman, a werewolf fan, you might feel how we are left feeling kind of just unsatisfied. If you like
the classic monsters, the universal monsters, I don't know. I like them. But like I felt like this one, I'm just like, since we're getting all the classics back, where this one's like a miss.
See, but if I were a producer and then I saw this movie, I'd go, okay, well, let's pump the brakes on the dark universe and let's really think about like our creature design and stuff, you know? Yeah,
which gives me the anticipation.
You got it, darling.
Anticipation.
And see an enemy.
For see an enemy. Monsters. What are the other movies? Frankenstein?
What?
Frankenstein's coming out, Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. We're getting and two Frankenstein movies.
Maggie Gyllenhaal, right?
Yeah.
It's giving me like the anticipation for those, but I'm not, I don't know. Now it's just like.
You let me down, Wolfman.
Yeah. He said it. Have the thought out.
Again, another interesting concept that they played with was the idea of like the lycanthropy really being a disease and really changing mm-hmm. the person. Changing the lore a little here and there, but that's fine.
That's okay.
Fine.
Go watch it.
Yeah. Okay. Next movie.
The Last Showgirl.
Starring Pamela Anderson, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Brenda Song.
Kiernan Shipka.
Dave Bautista.
And the rest. Oh, Billy Lord. Yeah.
Can't forget about her.
Go ahead. Kick it off. Describe the movie to us.
Hold on. Give me a minute.
Go on.
All right. A seasoned showgirl must plan her future when her show abruptly closes after a 30-year run. Dun, dun, dun. That's all I got.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. This is a really good movie. I didn't know what to expect because the director is Gia Coppola. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if this is like her directorial debut or whatnot, but it was a good movie. It did make me a little bit cry at the end. But that's just me because I just end up being a big crybaby.
You know, I guess we have a theme in our movies. It's yet another movie dealing with, not necessarily generational trauma, but I can't think of a better phrasing. But having to deal with your parents. It's a different take on looking up to your parents, I suppose, where typically parents might say, you know, look for the, don't follow your dreams, look for the more secure job. Mm-hmm. This plays with the idea of, what if somebody did follow their dreams? past the point where they should have retired.
It gave, not past.
What's it giving?
No, it's, God, my cool factor is going down.
You had a podcast with your husband. Your cool factor went right the fuck out the door a long time ago.
No, it gives more of a girl probably in right out of high school wants to do a thing, wants to follow her dreams, wants to be like a showgirl, maybe a cheerleader or something, and ends up, you know, with parents telling her to choose something more secure, like how you were saying. But instead, she makes it. But the one thing is, she doesn't expand on that. She doesn't go different routes and try to get, when there's that momentum of like her being at the top, she doesn't explore different things that she can explore.
I can see this movie having been made in the 90s. You're following a young Pamela Anderson and she's trying to make it big and to be the number one on that stage. And then the movie ends and then it's like, then happily ever after. And now we're in the after. This follows that. It's like, okay, where's the happy ending? There's a quote in the movie that I quite enjoyed, and I don't have it word for word, but in essence, she's telling her daughter, played by Billie Lord, that life is full of contradictions. You know, we're playing with this idea of this person has followed their dreams kind of blindly, and she's telling everyone, like, the thing that they're doing means something, but certain people are like, yeah, kind of, sort of, and other people are like, well, it's just a job, you know, and she's trying to give meaning to it, and now that it's closing, it kind of feels like that meaning's going away and you're trying to find purpose in your life. But the contradiction is she's followed this dream for 30 years. And the thing with following your dream is that it comes at the cost of stuff. Sometimes it's family.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough one. So there's this turmoil with her daughter and with certain other individuals in the movie. And I love how they played with it, where some people are like her surrogate daughter and then there's her actual daughter and this makeshift family, with Dave Bautista kind of being at the head of it. And he's such a lovable, awkward guy.
Oh my God, him in the wig was not expected. But he looks good in with hair.
They do this thing where they make sure not to romanticize Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. But the only person that romanticizes it is Pamela Anderson's character, Shelley. And they do that with these scenes in between the main scenes. This little, you know, kind of this music over it. And she's either eating popcorn while like watching traffic or just standing in front of the sign for her show, which is called the Razzle Dazzle. Just things like that, where you're seeing Las Vegas through her eyes and she's kind of wistful about it. Almost damn near ditzy.
I don't think it was Las Vegas. I think she was just, it was like the art, the shows and stuff that she was glamorizing. Like, sure. Not Las Vegas per se, because there was a point in the movie where she's talking about like, how the show they're doing, they used to travel around the world and stuff. So I don't think it was per se Las Vegas. It was just in general, like the glitz and glam of being a showgirl. Because being a showgirl is like you made it kind of thing. Like,
yeah. I think she even says at one point that we were ambassadors. We were famous. We're the top of the top. And there is a point where you can tell she's been repeating these things to herself to the point where she's lost meaning in the things that she's repeating and you know, the people go, what the fuck are you even saying? And like, I think we've been there at a certain point because you want that thing that you fought for to have so much meaning that now you're at a point where you kind of know in the back of your head that it doesn't and you're losing your shit. There's another thing in the movie that they explore, and I appreciated them doing this, that it doesn't paint her as a bad person for maybe not being a good mom and just following her dreams. I think she, in the movie, she even says that parents are people too. And we have to remember that, you know, we put them on a pedestal. We think very highly of them. We got to remember that parents are just people too. And they're using the tools that they have, meaning they're just doing their best. And that's tough to think at sometimes because you want your parents to be more and you need more out of them. And that's just the best that they can do sometimes emotionally, intellectually, you know, we've all been there. And so I could relate to certain characters in this movie. And to the point, it was a little heartbreaking of some of the similarities. But even with the Wolfman, I was like, oh, man, this movie's really speaking to me. As movies are meant to do, you know, sometimes they're just there for entertainment, but other times they have a message and something that could resonate with you. And I like these about these movies, that you have that, you have something that resonated with you in a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And then another movie about a old showgirl.
I thought it was great how She did the scenes with no makeup when it was just her outside.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And her with makeup.
She's lovely. She's very lovely.
Just for the showgirl part. Most of this thing wasn't even on stage. It was just like the dressing room. But it was like that them getting ready and stuff. But that's only when she had makeup on. And I like that because that I felt like that's her resonating with like her old self when she would do the glitz and glam and hair and makeup and everything to where she's now, where she just would, how she said in interviews, she's like, I just go to my garden in the morning. And I tend to like the garden and I like, I am trying to figure out who I am again. So basically it's going back to your bare bones. So when she stops the last show and everything, the whole like 2 weeks before the last show, I think it's her trying to figure out what's her next step and figure out who she is.
Yeah.
Because she never had an identity other than her being a showgirl. But who is she? It's like her reinventing herself.
And she gets a little glimpse of that in Jamie Lee Curtis's character. Of yeah. Like, oh, no, I don't want to.
Yeah, she gets a glimpse of how she could turn out or what she can do and like basically take herself away from that environment.
They very thoughtfully did a thing where they, you see them prepping and going to the show, you see them talking about the show, but you're not always seeing the show. And it's clever that they did that, important that they saved it for the end, because you're getting to see everyone's point of view of the show, for being old and young, rich and poor, different backgrounds, and what it means to them or what it doesn't mean to them, so that it's left up to you to finally see that performance towards the end. Well done, movie. I don't know if it's going to be for everybody, but I enjoyed it.
It was a really good movie.
Yeah.
It was one of my, it was like on my list to watch alongside with Conclave.
Oh, really?
Like, it's one of those like movies where it's like, it looks very artistically done, where I feel like it's going to speak to me, and which it did, because at the end I was just like, women great. But at the same time, where it's like, it's not one of those movies, like one of them, those blockbusters, like you have to see it, here you go, all the marketing and everything. But it's enough to where you're like, I really want to see it. What is it about? It kind of gives you, it leaves you wondering what it's about.
It didn't win any Golden Globes, but it
was nominated.
Yeah, very well-deserved nomination.
Basically, her comeback.
As far as the style of how it was shot too, it wasn't like a crisp, you know, smooth camera looking kind of thing. It made it feel kind of how, like, I think I would imagine Las Vegas might feel behind, you know, in the daytime kind of thing. So very gritty. And even how her house was designed and even the things that she was wearing, it's this certain grit to it. Not in any kind of like, you know, like Fincher way, but.
Mobile home.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Fincher meets Wes Anderson and they had a baby. And there you go.
I say no more. So now we move on to our segment of the show that I call YHST Gets Fresh. Ooh. Every other episode, we alternate on guessing the Rotten Tomato critic and audience score, as well as giving our own personal rating on the movies that we just talked about. From 0 to 100, 59 and below being rotten and 16 above being fresh, it is now my wife's turn to guess the Rotten Tomato score.
Yay! Finally, I won the lottery.
So, dear, Wolfman, what do you give that movie?
Personal 60. For trying. critics 56 and audience 65.
Wow, you were really close. You didn't peek at any of these, did you?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking. The critics gave it a 55.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're just on the nose on that one. Ooh,
okay.
And the audience gave it a just barely fresh at 63%.
Ooh.
I also would give it a 60.
Yeah.
I probably would even give it a 65.
Oh, you're with that crowd?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I take it down to 5 because
just barely fresh.
Yeah, it just did. It lost me too many places. Mm-hmm. Like, not lost me where I didn't understand, but just like took me out. And I'm just kind of wandering, you know, looking around the theater. I'm like, there's nothing here. Why am I looking around?
And now the next movie, last movie, The Last Showgirl. What's your rating?
89.
Okay.
Critics 80. Audience 82. It could be higher.
Critics 81% and audience 73%.
Bitches.
Everyone liked it more than I expected them to, especially the audience. Audience is always finicky because we only say they're like not that smart. Excuse me?
What was the critics?
73.
They should do better.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think like a normie here. And yeah, I don't know if they would have given it anything higher than that. Mm. with movies like this that are kind of artsy, the critics usually rate it higher. So I feel like it's properly rated. What'd you give it again?
89. I think it was probably because Jamie Lee Curtis. I saw her butt. But good for her. Her tatas were there, and I'm just like, damn.
And thus ends our segment that I call Why Just Tea Gets Fresh.
Doo, doo.
Ooh. See, I shortened the things up now, so now better production elements.
No,
yeah, totally did, dude.
Life.
Now, all right, now let's move on to our thing, covering the Golden Globes. We're going to try to abbreviate some stuff. Maybe this episode will go long, maybe it won't, but passing it on to you, dear.
To me.
Let's try to fit it under an hour.
Well, I don't even know where we at right now. Okay, 39. We can do this in 20. Okay, so 82nd. That doesn't sound like it's flowing off my...
So we watched the 82nd Golden Globe, hosted in the Beverly Hilton, hosted by Nikki Glaser, comedian extraordinaire and roaster. God, she's a fucking badass. She's on the rise to stardom. So
her roast of the whole crowd was classy, yet some jabs in there.
So I don't think it was the last year's Golden Globe, but one of the Golden Globes was hosted by Ricky Gervais. And if you're hosting Ricky Gervais, come here, people, get real close.
Just pretend I'm bringing you closer.
Ricky Gervais hosting it, you know you're going to get Ricky Gervais, who isn't exactly like the roast, you know, Jeff Ross, Roastmaster General level. But guy's going to call some people out, like straight up to your face. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he didn't get fucking slapped. But I love Ricky Gervais because he's controversial in that way. But like Alva said.
Because he's clear.
Because he's what?
I think there's some stuff with his name. And then once that was like proven to be false, then he got brought back to the Golden Globes.
Oh, trippy.
Yeah.
So instead we had Nikki Glaser. Not only was it classy, but she never really directly roasted anybody. She roasted kind of like all. What's that?
It was like at kind of certain things, but never to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But anytime she was actually roasting anybody directly, they weren't in the room. Like, she made a jab at the Joker. She goes, oh, yeah, right, the Joker, too. Where's that table? Oh, they're not here. Very well done, Nikki. And she looked amazing in all of her dresses.
Oh, yeah.
God, you know, I was going to, like, quote some of her jokes, but that never fucking works. I think it's still streaming on Hulu?
No, it's streaming on Paramount Plus.
On Paramount Plus, if you have that subscription. Man, some of that shit was just so clever and how she... If you've never seen any Nikki Glaser stand-up, it's wonderful. If you've never seen her roast, it just hits perfectly. Bang, bang, bang. And that's exactly what this was, you know? Because as the whole thing opened up, you're anticipating like, oh, this could not land. Because sometimes Hollywood really isn't that fun.
Because what?
Doesn't have a sense of humor, sorry.
What was last year? Joe?
Joe Coy.
There you go. Why can't I speak today?
I got you.
And he's not invited back for sure.
I didn't watch any of it.
It was a little cringe.
Yeah. So not everyone can do it. I hope she does it again.
Oh, she already got like an invite.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So there we go. So I'm going a little bit off the list of what like was who won what and everything, just because I feel like this is how I want to go through it.
Yeah, go for it.
So like the cinematic and box office achievement.
Okay.
Of course, Wicked. Wicked won that. But there were some good movies on there that we've seen all those movies on the nominations. Alien, Romulus, Beetlejuice, Deadpool, Wolverine, Gladiator 2, Inside Out, The Wild Robot, and Twisters were all nominated.
Yeah, yeah.
Alongside with Wicked. But Wicked just, I think because it hit a group of people, especially theater, where it's like you finally get to bring those characters into the big screen and done so well that people were just like watching it over and over again, even with the sing-along thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's what I think the director, when he was doing his speech, he was like, we wanted to bring this for you, not for us, but for you, which meant exactly why they won that award.
Even when we covered Wicked, like, I'm like, dude, they really put a lot of thought and heart and soul into this movie. And you hear him talking about it in interviews and on his speech. If you haven't seen Wicked, go see Wicked.
I'm stopping you. Okay. Best motion picture drama, The Brutalist, a 3.5-hour movie.
With a 15-minute intermission.
With a 15-minute intermission by A24.
And we're covering it.
Yes.
We're going to see it. If you're streaming this, we will go see it on Martin Luther King Day. If you're listening to this in the future, we have seen it on Martin Luther King Day, our day off.
It's going to be our morning movie because we got to go in there with a coffee and everything. It's like going in
for a marathon.
Yeah. But the nominations, the nominees for this one was A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2. The only two movies that we haven't seen are September 5th.
When's it out?
It's I think, this month, next week.
I hear really good things about that.
Nickel Boys. I also heard really good things about that. I just don't know if it's already been out or not, but we'll be adding those two to our movies.
I did mention we're getting over a cold.
Infection. I have an inhaler.
off screen, she had to take a little puff of her inhaler. So, pardon her breathiness. Because in past episodes, I'm like, dude, you're like breathing between sentences. You know, see, that's what I thought about the movie. I'm like, are you okay?
No. sorry. Okay. Best motion picture, comedy, or musical. And that one goes to Emilia Perez. that one. I really want to watch that one. That one's on Netflix. And it's about basically a transformation.
I don't know
if it's LGBTQ. Yeah.
Come on, get it right. I don't know about it. I have to see it first, but I don't know about it winning over Wicked. As far as it being a musical.
Well, the other ones were Real Pain, Challengers, Wicked, and Anora, and The Substance. We've seen two out of those. It's not bad. Now, this one is the one that I was very happy that it won something. Because, Isaac, what did you say about this movie?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, though. I can't read your writing. I still can't. Just tell
Conclave.
Me. On the microphone?
Conclave.
Thank you. Okay, first off, anybody listening to the show knows that, you know, I'm usually seeing like, you know, big stream, mainstream movies, and that's like my own fault. And, on paper, Conclave sounded kind of boring. Did I regret seeing it? No, I thought it was an amazing movie. You've heard my reviews and stuff like that, but I keep getting shit on about it as if I'm like, oh, Conclave. Anyways. No, I was like, thanks to that movie, and I thank her openly, right? And so we saw that movie, and I'm like, yeah, cool. Thank you, dear, for taking me to go see that movie and reminding me that movies exist outside of superheroes and bullshit. So,
Anyways, the nominees for this that one was serious? The Brutalist, Emily Perez, Anora, The Substance, and Real Pain. Oh, Real Pain.
You're a Real Pain. Next.
Best Motion Picture for Animated. That was Flow. I was not expecting that one.
I wasn't expecting Moana 2 to be on the nomination, one of the nominees.
Well, there wasn't that many animated movies out this year.
I don't give a shit. I crapped on that properly for Moana 2, and some people disagree, but
I
feel like it duped people.
I also heard there was like a lawsuit, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the nominees for that one. Okay. So Flo is a Latvian movie. And there's no talking. It's all animals, and all the sounds are actual animals, except for the capybara, which I think
was an armadillo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's about a cat.
It's one of the animated.
Been displaced.
Okay. Yeah. It's one of the animated things that really went under the radar. Because like Wild Robot was up in there with the nominees, and that is such an amazing movie. Yeah. So I'm very fascinated
Inside
to see
Out
what
2
this
was in there too.
Yeah. Rightfully so. Again.
Yeah. Then Best Motion Picture, non-English.
Oh, was that I'm Still Here?
No, that is Emilia Perez. That's a French one.
So Emilia Perez did win a handful of things. I think one for song.
Song. Zoe Saldana won for supporting.
By the way.
Saldana.
Saldana is great. I did not expect her to be like that level of emotional where to the point I'm like, dude, chill out. How many tequilas did you have?
It was her first nomination and her first win.
A little extra. And I know we're not covering TV shows, but I have to mention Shogun, because I actually watched Shogun. This is the first time we're actually talking about TV shows on a movie podcast. Just want to quickly say Shogun won best male actor, female actor, supporting actor, and best drama limited series. It's a lot of reading, a lot of subtitles, but Shogun's an amazing original story. I think based off a true thing, and it deserved all of those awards.
Mm-hmm. It did.
On to the next thing. Sorry.
Yeah. And the last for my thing is best director, which is Brady Colbert for The Brutalist, which took 7 years to make. And I did like his speech, the second one, once when they won the best motion picture, where he says that the last person who gives a green light should be the director. Mm-hmm. And
he was, they told him that his film was undistributable.
And for him to be,
and that it wouldn't work.
Yeah. But for it to be this, like, win stuff, let's see if it wins some Oscars as well. But the cutest thing was when he first won, his daughter was crying. I'm just like, stop, this is going to, like, I'm not going to cry. But, like, the daughter was so proud of it. I was just like, this is so cute. It's a cute moment.
And he was the only person to shout out Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
Her loss.
Her husband.
Her husband.
Since he's also a director.
Self-deleted.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm just a ray of sunshine today, huh?
We're a boat. Self-deleted.
Any other, oh, you know Demi Moore.
Demi Moore.
What did she win for? Best female actress in a motion picture. Musical. Demi Moore in The Substance was wonderful. We cover that on the show. She had, I think, one of the best speeches. And, mm-hmm. you know, reflecting on her 30 plus years as an actress and how people told her that she wasn't going to be good enough, that she was just, you know, a popcorn actress. And that in her lowest place, like this weird script, The Substance, comes across her desk. And she just excels in that role. I know I say this phrase all the time. If you haven't seen that movie, if you haven't seen The Substance, put that on your list. It's a weird body gore thing. But mm-hmm. And I wrote this down verbatim because I thought it was such a beautiful quote. And she said, and this is the last part of her speech, she says, and she was very humble about this too. Great message. In those moments when we don't think we're pretty enough, smart enough, skinny enough, successful enough, or just enough, a woman once told her, you'll never be enough. But you can't know the value of your worth if you don't just put the measuring stick down. We compare ourselves to people all the time, which is the message, part of the message of The Substance. You continue to compare mm-hmm. yourself to people. You're going to get blinded to your own value, which is something I always speak on in this podcast. So I wonderful speech. Wonderful, wonderful speech. Mm-hmm.
I also like the when they were presenting an award, how both Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley went up there and did a little bit from the movie.
Okay, so some of the presentations, I have them all written down, but it's all like actual chronological, and I didn't section them off because I'm a bad note taker, right? But when you have these like jokey things written into some of the announcements, if you have non-comedic people reading them, especially off a teleprompter, it just falls short, and it's very cringe, or as my people say, cringy. And even that one, I love Margaret Qualley and I love Demi Moore. And it was like very cheeky where they're like, oh, wait, what are you doing here? This is my week. No, this is my week. It didn't hit as far as something right off a teleprompter. It was cute. But the presenters that killed it were any comedic person.
Seth Rogen, Catherine O'Hara.
Melissa McCarthy, Awkwafina.
Yeah, there you go.
Fucking nailed it. Particularly if you could find it somewhere on YouTube or whatnot. Is Seth Rogen and Catherine O'Hara. Mm. I laughed so damn hard, and they're naturals at that type of shit and improvising.
Yeah.
But
they're just going up.
For a non-comedic person, I will give a lot of credit to Mama Kathy Bates.
Oh, yeah.
She's a freaking pro, and she read that like a pro mm-hmm. and riffed with Anthony Ramos.
Usnavi.
She's wonderful. I call her Mama Kathy Bates because she reminds me of my mom, but a white version of her. She does, right? If you look at her, you know, squinty eyes.
I already have squinty eyes, so when I close my eyes?
Yeah. And then as far as like awkward presentations, Michael Keaton was a little bit sauced up. I mean, these stars get like drunk all the time, but it wasn't like, oh my God, he's so drunk. And then Vin Diesel did, he presented one of the TV things.
No.
Came out and it was like, hey, Dwayne. I'm like, ooh, awkward. Yeah.
It's like, I have to say hi to you because you're right there. They put me right in front of you.
Yeah. But I liked his, what they wrote for him. You know, he really put a lot of weight into to his presentation family. And talking about, how movies bring everyone together. It's mm-hmm. all about family. You said the thing, family.
Family. No, he did the cinematic and box office achievement.
That's what it was. Yeah. And then as far as like writing, speaking of writing, Nikki Glaser, I give her so much props because there's a photo where she took with all of her writers, giving credit to the writers, which isn't usually, they don't get enough recognition.
Mm-mm. Usually it's like, no, I did everything, and they just take the credit for it.
Yeah. Like, by the way, one of the bits that she did was she has the Pope hat on.
She's going to do Popular.
Yeah, Popular. And she starts singing it. She's like, wait, what? This sucks? Oh, and funny bit. You have to check out all of her stuff.
Penguin.
Insane of the Penguin. The other thing that they did very well was you have a lot of Nikki Glaser heavy stuff in the beginning, in the middle, and then lightly sprinkle her out of the whole thing and focus more on the award thing. Mm-hmm. That's the way to do the Golden Globes. You know, it just felt like it was nicely packaged. You get on with it, you get done.
Yeah, it's not mostly the presenter up there. It's just not the hosts. I felt like they put more attention to the actual talent, the actors.
Second favorite bit, though, was the shout-outs. Nikki Glaser was like, all right, well, let's look at all the shout-outs today. Let's see. The cast and crew, all cast and crews got 11 shout-outs. They're moms of 3 shout-outs. God, no shout-outs in this godless place.
Mario Lopez.
One. That was Kieran Culkin, right? Yeah. He's like, I'm sorry, I was doing a shot. My wife and I did a particular shot with Mario Lopez.
Yeah, went up there for you won his best supporting actor for a real pain, yeah.
Another one I thought it was fun was Anthony Mackie with Harrison Ford. Mackie's a goofball.
You can tell, was it Harrison Ford's like, let's get this going. Let's get me out of the stage.
That's him all the time. He doesn't. His voice doesn't get above this. All right, now for the next awards goes out to.
But like,
okay,
you can tell it was like he was trying to play like that, like a grandpa or something.
Yeah, that's him.
Where he was like, kind of like, come on, hurry up, let's get this over with. And, but you have Anthony Mackie as like this ADHD, like bouncing around. Of course,
that's fun.
His friend Sebastian Stan just won an award, and he's happy for him. You can tell the excitement in him for that he won that award for
Betterment. Not Better. Jesus Christ.
A different man.
A better man.
A different man, yeah. And his speech about inclusivity and everything, which is another movie that I really wanted to see throughout last year, unfortunately did not make my cut, but I'll definitely be able to see that one. And I think there was something else that I wanted to mention.
We'll do better next time, I promise.
Oh, Jeremy Strong as Vector.
oh no, I had it written down here, like the people that looked fucking hilarious. Yeah, Jeremy Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith Urban.
He got too tan.
Sweet Christ, that guy's orange. Maybe just sitting next to his wife, Nicole Kidman.
She's really pale. But still, too orange. Just a little bit back.
Yeah, anyway. Anything else that's memorable of the Golden Globes? Oh, because it was TV. That's why I didn't have it written down.
Yeah. Carolina.
Yeah, Colin Farrell, his speech was the most charismatic speech.
Mm-hmm.
He won for The Penguin, rightfully so.
Yeah.
And I love how he's just like off the top. He's so charismatic, thanking everybody, including Craft Services. Carolina. Oh, dear God.
Carolina.
Craft Services.
Every 30 minutes, you'd be there with the coconut water. Man. In New York.
It's prosthetics from here on out.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else about the Golden Globes? Let's close this episode out.
Yeah.
We'll be a little more organized next time. I promise nothing. I have no outro for the Golden Globes thing. You know, I'll do this. And that was our coverage. YHSD covers the Golden Globes. Join us next year, for the 83rd Golden Globes. If Nikki Glaser is hosting it, I'm fucking there. In the meantime, are you ready to wrap the show up?
I am, yes.
We did our best, guys.
I did so close to not go.
Thank you, everybody, once again for joining us. And again, if you just, for some strange freaking reason, you're just catching the end of our show and didn't catch the beginning, if you can't find us on Forehead Films, Foreheed Films, that's because we are now
YHSD Pod.
That's right. You can find us on socials at YHSD Pod. And we usually stream on TikTok. If TikTok is banned, we will then start streaming on
Instagram,
which will be then at YHSD Pod. So look out for that. Hit the notification bells and all that stuff. If you want to help support us, you can do so on Venmo at YHSD Pod. I love everybody. Thank you for joining us on these streams. I have a lot of fun. Sorry that we're a little tired on the tail end of it's cold season, but we will.
Damn sinus infection.
We can only do the best with the tools that we have. See, I learned something from movies. All right, folks. In the meantime, tell us what movies are on your list of films to see that has people asking you the question.
You haven't seen that?
Adios for now.
Okay, bye.
Bye forever. Thank you.